At the end of the gospel today, we hear something rather profound. And it says that Jesus was amazed. Throughout the gospels, we hear that the people who heard our Lord were amazed. They were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed at his miracles. They were amazed at his authority. This is the only time we hear about our Lord being amazed. And it says he was amazed at their lack of faith. What a tragedy. To make the matter even worse, this was in his own hometown. Now you have to keep in mind that the very reason why the town of Nazareth was founded was because these people had so much faith in what God had revealed in Scripture that they recognized that based on what was stated, the Messiah was going to be born from one of their families. So these were people who had faith in God, in the Scriptures, in the coming of the Messiah. And when the Messiah came, they had no faith in him. Now part of that one can understand. He grew up there. They knew him. Just ask yourself, if God wanted to do something with one of your siblings, how are you going to handle that? The people in California and Florida are going to be wowed by it. They're going, wow, look at what this person's doing. You're going to go, oh, no, I know that person. I've known since he was a little kid. No, that can't be happening. Prophet's not accepted except in his own family. And so our Lord's relatives didn't accept him because they knew him. But we have to look now a little deeper because we are now his family. We are baptized into the person of Jesus Christ. We call God our Father. We are brothers and sisters. Indeed, we are members of the Lord himself. And therefore, we are now the ones who run the risk of having little faith because we know him. So we look, for instance, at the first reading where God calls the prophet Ezekiel and sends him out to preach. He tells Ezekiel that he's sending him to the house of Israel, the chosen people of God, right? Rebels who have rebelled against me, God said. They are hard of face and obstinate of heart. Wow. And that's God saying that about his own people. And he tells Ezekiel that he has to go out and preach, but the people aren't going to listen. But he has to go out and preach anyway. Imagine if God called you and said, all right, I'm sending you out to do this great work, but nobody's going to pay attention. How painful and difficult that would be, especially when you're preaching to them the truth and they don't want it. The Lord told us we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. But we want a lie instead of the truth sometimes. Now, it would be one thing if it was just a prophet. Jesus told us a prophet is not without honor except in his native place. And that's exactly when we hear what God tells Ezekiel, he has to go out and say to the people, thus says the Lord. That is something you will read over and over and over and over and over again when you read the prophets. In other words, it's the prophet being able to say, look, this isn't my opinion, guys. This is what God is saying. This is the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. He said, but they're not going to listen, but they'll at least know that somebody was there who told them. Now, we don't just have a prophet. We have the Lord. But remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And after all the things the rich man is asking, he finally says, then send Lazarus to my brothers, because if someone will just rise from the dead, then they will listen. God said, look, they've got Moses and they've got the prophets. If they're not going to listen to them, they're not going to listen if somebody rises from the dead. Well, we don't just have Moses and the prophets. We have someone who's risen from the dead. We have the Son of God himself. And do we want to listen to him? We don't just have a prophet saying, thus says the Lord. We have the Lord himself speaking. It is the word of God, literally. Do we want it? Do we pay attention? Or how many of us say, oh yeah, I've heard all that before. It goes in one ear and out the other. So what would God say about us right now? Would he say, these people are soft of heart. Their heart is open to be able to hear the word of God. They want to love the Lord their God with their whole heart and soul and strength. Or is he going to look at us and say, they're rebels. They're hard of face and obstinate of heart. We hear about St. Paul and the preaching that he was doing. But when we even go back and look in the Acts of the Apostles at what happened with St. Paul, he began by preaching to the Jewish people. Once again, the very chosen people of God. And they didn't want it. And so St. Paul said, since you have shown yourself to be unworthy, I'll go preach to the Gentiles, the pagans. And what did the pagans do? They rejoiced. They accepted the truth. They received it and they began to live it. You and I now are the people of God. You and I are the brothers and sisters of the Lord. Do we want it? Are we willing to listen to the word of God? When we think of ourselves, we recognize that we're weak and we're broken. We don't like to admit that, but we have to. But look at what it does. God says, my grace is sufficient for you because power is made perfect in weakness. If we can acknowledge not only that Jesus is Lord, but therefore I am thereby dependent on him, then in my weakness I can allow him to be strong. I can allow him to work through me. I can unite myself with him and I can seek to do his will. But if we think that we're strong enough by ourselves, then we don't need him and we don't want him. Now, the other side of it, of course, is that our Lord lays things out for us and what would be expected, and the devil will lay out some other things. And what the devil presents to us is something that's going to sound exciting and fun and pleasurable and whatever else, all the glitz and glamour that he offers. And we fall for it. Because after all, Jesus is offering us the cross. And we say, well, which would I rather have, all this fun and excitement, or would I rather have what the Lord is offering? And it's an easy trap to fall into. But I think by now all of us should have learned that all of that just brings emptiness. What our Lord offers brings fulfillment. The devil wants to try and tell us that there's a better way. Look around out there. Is that better? Anyone who's old enough to be able to remember back even 40 years ago will recognize things have not improved. This is not a better way. We have the perfect way, and that's the Lord himself. He is the way. But are we willing to get on that way? Are we willing to walk that way? All of us, St. Paul said, have to serve someone. The question is, who are we going to serve? All too many of us, the answer is me. I will serve myself. That's what Satan said, and look where it got him. It's going to get us in the same spot. Go all the way back to the book of Joshua, and Joshua said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That's the choice every one of us has to make. Are we going to serve Satan, or are we going to serve Christ? There will be no in-between. If you want to say, I'll serve me, that's serving Satan. You've chosen against the Lord. We have to do what God asks. After all, again, these people in Nazareth, they believed the truth in their heads, but they didn't let it get into their hearts. Now, you and I, we wouldn't be here if we didn't believe, but has it gotten into the hearts? Remember, Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. We have to carry it out. We have to do what he tells us. Isn't that exactly what our Blessed Lady told the people at Cana? Do whatever he tells you. Well, that hasn't changed, because what God tells us is perfect. What God tells us is best. But we keep thinking we have a better way. There isn't one. So there are only two options put before us, not just the options of Jesus and Satan, but within our own self. We can be amazed at our Lord's teaching, at his authority, at his miracles, at his person. Or he can be amazed at our lack of faith. Those are the two options presented before us today. So we want to be amazed at him. We want to recognize who he is. He's not just a prophet, he is God. But now each one of us needs to look into our own heart and ask, is he the Lord of my life? Is he really the master whom I will follow, whom I will obey? Will I listen to his word? Do I put it into practice? These are some difficult things for us to have to look at, because it means we need to make some changes in our lives. It means that we need to make the adjustment to truly be who we profess to be. But that's exactly what our Lord is looking for from us, to be his people, to be his children, to know the freedom of the children of God that only comes through Christ. That's what each and every one of us is being offered. But it will not be forced on us. We have to choose it. And so the Lord presents himself to us. The devil presents all this other garbage. The devil's garbage is shiny and bright and exciting and noisy. God's is not. So we have to make a choice. Whose voice are we going to listen to? A prophet's not accepted in his own country, among his own kin, or in his native place. Are we willing to accept him, or are we going to reject him? Not just in our heads, in our hearts. If we're going to say that we will accept him, then let him truly be Lord in your life. Open your heart to be able to receive him, to hear his word, to conform yourself to that word, so that you can do the will of God, so that the way to heaven is open for you. When you do that, over and over, you will be amazed. You'll be amazed not only at who He is and what He's doing in your life, you'll be amazed at the change that's going to happen in the growth in holiness, in the beauty, in the joy, in the peace, all those things, you will be amazed. The alternative, He will be amazed because of our lack of faith. Those are the two options. So choose carefully and choose well and allow yourself to be amazed at the Lord Jesus Christ.